In the name of the triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hi there. I'm Pastor Eric Ash. Welcome to my church. It's good to see me, isn't it? You're probably wondering how I'm doing. Of course you are. Well, you'll be glad to know that I'm doing fine, even more than fine, actually. My life is just one adventure after another. Last week, I did all sorts of exciting, important, amazing things that I'm sure you want to hear all about. But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you like about me the best? I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. But don't we all know people that are just that conceited, self-centered, and egotistical? Centuries ago, Nicholas Copernicus discovered that the Earth revolves around the Sun and that the universe does not revolve around the Earth. Still, many people think that the universe revolves around them. Everything is all about them, and they are certain that anything you can do, they can do better. Whatever story you tell, they have one that can top it. They are the masters of one-upmanship. Jesus' disciples must have been something like that, at least on occasion. In today's gospel reading, they had been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. What a joke. Peter, James, and John were uneducated fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector, and tax collectors were well known to be dishonest cheats and to be traitors who had sold out to the Roman government. Another, Simon, was one of the zealots, a political revolutionary cell that waged terrorist attacks and guerrilla warfare on the Romans. For the disciples to debate who was the greatest among them would be like a group of death row prisoners debating which one of them was the nicest. However, there was one disciple who really seemed to have some leadership potential. He was logical, practical, had finance skills, and wasn't afraid to speak his mind. His name was Judas, and we all know what happened to him. Jesus had already given the disciples a great lesson in humility. Jesus was all about downward mobility. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave and became a human being. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process for him. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at all at that, a crucifixion. How ironic then that the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest among them directly after Jesus, who was the greatest of all time in every way, had predicted his own death and betrayal, the death and betrayal of a rebel and slave. If anybody was going to get it, you would think the disciples would have got it, but they sure didn't. People still don't get it today either, even pastors. Perhaps especially pastors. Here is something you probably won't believe, but I promise you that it's true. Pastors can be competitive and egotistical. Shocking, shocking, I know. How do pastors compare themselves with one another? What do they consider when they debate who among them is the greatest? Some pastors measure success by how many people worship on average in their congregations on Sunday mornings. You might hear a pastor say, we worship 100 people, or we worship 200 people. If anyone asked me how many people we worship here at First Trinity on Sunday morning, I always answer, we worship just one person. We worship Jesus. There is something telling, I think, when people use the word worship to describe their average attendance. Maybe some people really are worshiping their attendance statistics rather than Christ. Other pastors might measure success by a congregation's financial status. They compare the size of their congregation's budgets, the bigger, the better. Or maybe their measure is the size or the relative beauty of their church's worship space. Now, if that's true, I've got them all beat. We have a beautiful church. By the way, that's known as the edifice complex. Let me share with you candidly how this has played out in my career as an ordained minister. If I recall correctly, I said something like this to the colloquy committee of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod when I was coming over to join the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I think I also said this or something similar to it when the call committee here at First Trinity was interviewing me. Now, please forgive me if it sounds like boasting, at least at first. I said, in my ministry, I've done most of the things that pastors think make for success. I served a congregation with an average Sunday attendance of 500 people. We had 1,600 members. I've managed staff ministries. I've been part of building programs. I've overseen budgets of several hundred thousand dollars. In worship, I've wore chasubles. I've swung incense. I've observed obscure holy days. I served in local and regional and national positions of leadership. But believe me, these things are never the big thrill that pastors think that they're going to be. Now, they're all good things. They were once very important to me. My peers and my superiors judged me on these things, and I suppose I also judged myself by them too. But they don't mean so much to me now. I'm not competing with anybody. All I want to do is preach Christ and Him crucified. That's what it all comes down to. All those other things don't really matter so much. It's not about me or my success. It's about Christ. More importantly, our worship here on Sunday morning is all about Jesus. Now, I hope that you find the sermons edifying, but our service is not about clever preaching. I hope you find the music beautiful, but it's not about music appreciation. I hope that you feel loved and welcome and find comfort and encouragement here. But ultimately, it's not even about our emotions. A great temptation for pastors is to get sold on the idea that loving the pastor is the same as loving Jesus. It's not. Like any human being, I like it when people like me. But you don't have to like me to be a Christian. That's not what faith is about. Whether I'm likable, whether you like me or not, is absolutely indifferent. What's important is that I preach the gospel. What's important is that you hear the gospel and believe it. We are here to praise Christ. Not any human being, not any man, woman, or child. There was a man, a Jewish man, from a well-respected family. He had an excellent education. He was respected by his peers. He was entrusted with much responsibility when he was young, and he appeared destined for fame and greatness. But all of that changed when he met Jesus Christ. On the road to Damascus, Paul's life was changed in an instant. And from then on, all of his awards, all of his accomplishments, he said he counted them as rubbish. And he took up his Savior's cross instead. Paul's path went through prison and martyrdom, but through his selfless servanthood, he led many people to Christ. Paul would not boast about himself. He would only boast about Jesus. Paul got called out of the self-aggrandizing rat race we all so easily get pulled into, and he got put into what really counts, living for Christ and him alone. Pastor Fred Craddock is often called the Dean of American Preachers. He tells this story. I guess we should consider it a fable because it has a talking animal. There was a champion greyhound that won many races. When he got old, his owners put him out on the street. He was rescued by an animal advocacy group and placed with a family that had small children. As Fred Craddock tells the story, he was visiting with this family one Sunday afternoon. He's sitting there in the living room, and the children are climbing on the dog and pulling his ears and pulling his tail, and the dog's just laying there, happy and contented, smiling if dogs can smile. And Fred said to the dog, "Do you ever miss chasing rabbits?" And the dog looked at him and said, "I spent my whole life chasing rabbits, and you know what? The rabbits weren't even real. The rabbits weren't even real." What are we chasing that isn't even real? What goals are we working so hard for that in the end don't matter? Christ is real. His church matters. Our faith is real. Our loved ones and all God's people matter. And you matter. God loved you enough to send his son to die in your place and earn your salvation. God's grace applies equally to all of the people in this world, those who are considered most successful, and the people that everybody else looks down to as well. It's all about Jesus, who is the greatest of all time. And unworthy as we are, he shares his victory. He shares his championship with us. So let's not put our strength and energy into competing with one another, but put those efforts into sharing the good message, the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone. For Jesus' sake, amen.